The phrase, like father, like son. And it is certainly true in the Bible today as we turn to Genesis in chapter 26. We're going to talk about the son, Isaac, but the father, Abraham, and the son had a similarity, and I'm thinking about a famine in either case. God had told Abraham, I want you, Abraham, to walk by faith. I want you to step out of your land. I'm not going to show you exactly where you're going to go, but you're going to step out in faith and follow my will. And I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to give it to you and your seed after you, and you're going to inherit it. And Abraham went out and went toward, first of all, from the Ur of the Chaldees to a place called Haran, where his father's brother lived, and then his father died, and Abraham was told, continue on to the west, and he went to Canaan land. And there he was told to put up tents in Canaan land and walk by faith, because he was going to inherit that land. But then something happened after he got out there. He'd lived in a big city all his life, Ur of the Chaldees. He lived in Haran, which was another big city. Now he's in this wilderness area that he's going to inherit. And there was a famine in the land. Nothing would grow. And he was afraid of starvation. So he did something God told him not to do. He went down into Egypt, to the south. Egypt was a great civilization, great wealth. They had food to deal with, and they had wealth, and he went down there. He felt very comfortable there, but it was not a good move, because he stopped walking by faith, and he started walking by what looked good. Kind of reminds me a lot when he looked at Sodom, and it looked good, and he moved his family there, and it didn't turn out good. Now, thankfully, Abraham went down there, and then he backslid further. That's not something to be thankful for. He said to his wife, who was a very, very, very beautiful woman, probably one of the most beautiful women in the entire world at the time, he told her, you say I'm your sister. And so she did, and right away Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, saw her and took her into his harem. God didn't allow him to touch her, and troubled Pharaoh, and Pharaoh came to Abraham and said, what have you done? And he found out his lie, and he let him go, and he got out of there, and God delivered Abraham out of Egypt. And Abraham came back out of Egypt and walked by faith in the promised land. But Lot, Egypt didn't come out of Lot, and he never got over that backsliding of Abraham. But later on now, we see Isaac, and Isaac is in the same place in Genesis 26. Notice verse 1, it says, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And notice what it says in verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. You see, like father, like son, Isaac had a famine. He had been walking by faith like Abraham, but now when that famine came, he had all intents and purposes to go down into Egypt like his father, but God stopped him. But when God stopped him, he still was in the land of the Philistines, which happened to be part of the promised land. But he told his wife, Rebekah, who was also a very beautiful woman, he told her, you say I'm your sister, because I don't want to get killed because of you. What kind of coward is that? And so, like father, like son there. And he wound up getting Rebekah chosen to go into the harem of Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. But while she was in there, God warned him, do not touch her. Because if you touch her, you're dead. You're dead meat. You ever heard that? You're dead meat. And so he was very upset. And he talked to Abraham, I mean, sorry, Isaac about it. But actually in this case, what really discovered Rebecca was his wife was not that he was told that in a dream initially. No, that was not what happened. He was looking at Isaac and he was sporting with Rebecca, and not in a sisterly way, not like you sport with a sister. So he knew what was going on, and he confronted Isaac, and Isaac told the truth. And then Abimelech is the one that charged his people, saying, "He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." So that wasn't a dream. That was Abraham, but he actually saw Isaac messing around with his wife. And so after this backsliding, Abraham came back and got right with God. After this backsliding, Isaac got right and got right with God and came back and did what it's saying here in the Bible. And so I want to talk to you about, unfortunately, some of this year may do what Isaac did, and you may leave the will of God for your life. You may look for something greener and better for you financially, but spiritually, it's not going to be the best thing for your life, and you're going to hurt your life, you're going to hurt your family if you're not staying in the will of God. And so I want to talk to you this year about doing what Isaac did, and that is walking by faith, getting back to the place that God had promised to bless him in the promised land. And as we are now in the first month of 2026, I want to challenge you to sow in this place, sow to grow this year, sow to grow this year. Turn to Genesis chapter 26, and I want to read a verse to start the message. It says in verse 3 of Genesis 26, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear to Abraham thy father." You know, we have gone through some difficult times here in this place where God has called us to pastor and to plant a church. And I remember going through some difficult times in 1986, and people left the will of God. They left the church of God. And I remember a man came from First Baptist Church with a gospel team of ladies, and they were singing here. And I've mentioned this many times before. This man was a teacher at Hiles Anderson College. He was a preacher under First Baptist Church. And he saw our church, and he saw how we were small at the time, and a lot of people had left, and it was a difficult time. But he saw that we stayed. The preacher stayed. His wife stayed. We stayed at it. Some people stayed here. Our deacon Joe stayed, and we stayed faithful and stayed with what God wanted us to do. A lot of people left. A lot of people didn't stay. They went out. Not because God had led them out. They went out because they were backsliding from walking by faith. I want to challenge you, do not do that. And I want to challenge you to stay put where God has planted you in the Word of God. You ever heard the phrase, bloom where you're planted? I want to challenge you to bloom while you're where you're planted. Since my last name is Bloom, and the Bible says you need to take root downward and bear fruit upward. In other words, you dig your faith into God. You dig your faith into the Word of God. You dig your faith into the place where God has called you, the local New Testament church. You dig your faith to build your own marriage and your own home and your own family, putting God first and having the husband be the head of the wife and the wife submitted to the husband and going back to the old way. And I want to challenge you in 2026 to do what God told Isaac, and he said, "Sojourn in this land and I will be with thee." You notice that? You don't have to leave and go to Egypt. You don't have to go somewhere else and leave your marriage and go somebody else. A wife doesn't have to leave her husband and so forth and so on. A man doesn't have to leave the church and lead his family out of the church. No, he said, sojourn in this land, and I'll be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I want to exhort you this morning to sow to grow this year. Sow to grow this year. And I want to say three things about that. Number one, sow to gospel giving this year. Sow to gospel giving this year. It says in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Now, when he sowed, he simply was told, God's going to bless your sowing, so start planting some seed. And if you're going to stay in Scranton, Pennsylvania area, and if you're going to stay in northeastern Pennsylvania, you're going to have some cold days. We're in them right now. Amen. This is the refrigerator. You're invited into the refrigerator right here. You know, I tell people, if you can take the heart out of winter, you can defeat winter. You say, what's taking the heart out of winter? Endure from January 15 through February 15. We're right now in January 18. That's part of the heart of winter. We're in the heart of winter. And if you can cut the heart out, you've got it. Not just much left of the heart of winter. Once you get into February, it's past the Groundhog's Day. You're into the 15th. You're heading toward March. You're heading toward spring. It's starting to warm up. The days are getting lighter. You beat it. You got through the heart of winter. But I want to say to you that every year I look forward this year to having a good year. And how am I going to have a good year? I want to sow to grow in 2026. And that's exactly what Isaac did. It said that Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year 100-fold. In other words, God told him, you sow, and he did so. You know, every year we've had more baptisms than the year before. And last year, we had a little bit less because we had such a huge year the year before. But every year, we've had more baptisms than the year before for a number of years. And that's my goal for this year. And not only that, but this year, I want to lead more people to the Lord personally than I led to the Lord last year. How are you going to do that? Give the gospel to more people this year than you did last year. And that's sowing the gospel seed into people's hearts and into their lives. And God said, I'm going to bless that. And God did bless it. And Isaac began to see some crops grow. And God's hand was upon him. And he blessed him. And you know what? There are certain laws of sowing and reaping. You know that you're going to reap what you sow. If you break the word of God and you sow to your flesh, even though it seems like, oh, this is going to be nice, this is going to be fun, you're going to pay for it. If you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh corruption. If you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. But if you sow the gospel seed in people's hearts, you're going to reap some lives that are changed by Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it will be. I remember when that man came here, and he came year after year, and he left me a message that said, a faithful man will abound in blessings, because he started seeing people get saved. They got baptized. They started serving the Lord in the local church. And that's what's going to happen when you sow the gospel seed in people's hearts. You're going to reap what you sow. And you're always going to reap more than you sow. You're always going to reap more than you sow. So you sow one seed, but you're going to get a bunch of plants back and a bunch of stuff back. You always reap more than you sow, and you always reap later than you sow. You have to wait. You have to have patience. It doesn't happen overnight. There's time. You know, see, some people want to get rich quick. They want to get these little deals where they can get rich quick. They go into the lottery and they get a bunch of money and they put it in the lottery and they think, I'm going to win. There was a guy all the time, he was always going to play the lottery and win. And all he did was get poorer and poorer. And even people that win the lottery, they get rich quick, but they can't handle the money, and they wound up spending it all and blowing it all because they don't even know how money works. And then they may even kill themselves because the money kills them. You see, financial peace is operating by principle. You're not worshiping money, but you're managing money for God. You're operating on principle. You're doing it God's way. And over time, that's how your wealth increases. And then you can give like nobody else can give. Some people try to give away their money, but they don't even know how. A lot of these people win the lottery. Oh, they give. They're generous. They don't know how to manage money. God said there's certain principles in my word. You ought to get this course. And learn how to manage money. And so over time, God will bless you, and you will sow, and you will grow, and God will bless you when you sow to the Spirit in your finances. And God will bless you when you sow the gospel seed into people's lives. And a lot of times we'll go out on a Thursday night, I'll tell people, don't come back until you give somebody a clear presentation of the gospel. Get to that place where somebody can hear how to get saved, because so many people are distracted and they're moving with their life and they're not even thinking about how they can live forever and ever. You need to get to that place where you can tell them how to be saved. And that's what our church, I want to do more of that. I want to challenge you to do more of that. Not only on a Thursday night, but perhaps on another day, like a Saturday. Perhaps even during the week where you're looking for those opportunities. And you can lead more people to the Lord this year than last year. And you can sow to grow. And when you do that, the Bible says, and the Lord blessed him. That's why he was blessed, because number one, he stayed in the will of God. He stayed in the place where God put him. And then he sowed in that place. Not just stayed, but are you sowing the word of God? When's the last time you gave people a clear presentation of the gospel and invited them to trust Christ? He stayed, he sowed, and then you need to supplicate. You need to get on your knees and pray for God to bless in people's lives so that they see what you're saying. Pray that people would be ready to listen and that you would have the opportunity to give them the gospel and take advantage of the opportunity. Stay, sow, supplicate God to bless. I'm saying sow to grow this year by sowing to gospel giving this year. Do more of it, not less of it, and God will bless. And not only that, but do more of when you get somebody saved or you see somebody saved, invite them to come with you and get involved with you in going out and sowing the gospel into people's lives. I get blessed when I do that, and I see other people get trained to give the gospel. But that's number one, sow to gospel giving this year. Number two, so to go forward this year. Look with me at verse number 13. Here's what it says about Isaac. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Now, I believe you should be faithful in little things. But I believe God wants to bless you. You say, well, where do you get that from? John chapter 15. He said, the Father's glorified when you bear fruit. And what's fruit? John 15, 16, he said, "Ye've not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain." Well, what does he mean there? Go with the gospel. Go is in John 15. Go and tell people. Go and give them the gospel. I want you to go, he said, and as you go, you're going to bring forth more, you're going to bring forth fruit. And your fruit will remain. What's that talking about? The people that get saved will continue to be Christians. Why? Because they got saved. You got them. And your fruit is going to remain. He said, you glorify the Father when you bear fruit. But then he talked about more fruit. So when you get some fruit, he wants you to have more fruit. And then when you have more fruit, he wants you to have much fruit. And he said, the more fruit you have, you glorify God. And when you have much fruit, you glorify God. And so Isaac, it said, waxed great. That meant he grew great in flocks. He grew great in crops. He grew great in people. And Isaac was a shy person. He was not an outgoing person. He was a meditative person. But yet God wanted to bless him with many people. Do you know God wants to bless your church with a bunch of people? People that you don't know yet. But as I said last week, he wants us to be a friendly church. As I said last week, he wants us to be a faithful church. And he wants us to reach out to new people and to invite them in. And he said that he is glorified when you bear much fruit. You know, it's not that attitude like, oh, I have done it and I'm done. I had a friend of mine, he said, oh, I've been a pastor now for 4 years. I paid my dues. In other words, I don't have to be a pastor anymore. I've been a pastor for 4 years. I paid my dues. And then he just started going and preaching around to different places. But he didn't. Listen. I believe God wants to bless this church. He wants us to not just ding along until the rapture. He doesn't just want us to say, oh, I'm glad it snowed today. We don't have to go on the bus. Isn't that great? No, it's not great. I'm not happy at all about that. I don't want that. Listen, I've got all eternity to sit around on a hammock in heaven, so to speak. I want to say there's only a temporary amount of time that you have where you can do something great for God. I can't abide a football coach that just gets into the playoff and loses on the first game of the playoff. I want that coach fired. I've wanted him fired for years when I see a coach like that. I pray for him to get fired. I don't like it. And we see here in the Word of God that God doesn't want that kind of Christianity. If you want that kind of Christianity and you want to be comfortable somewhere where you can just sit and do nothing, I am not here to rock you to sleep. I am not here to rock you to sleep. Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. Go to sleep, baby. No, I pray the cradle will rock. And roll. And I'm just saying that Isaac, he could have been that kind of person. But God said, no, I want you to stay and sow in this place. I want you to stay put. And that's the problem, Brother Joe. Too many people, they come into a church, they get into a good church, then they look for somewhere else to go. No, you should look to stay and sow so that you can grow and impact other people, and that we can, it's great when people, I love it when people provoke me, amen? You say, what do you mean, provoke you? I'm not talking about the way you're thinking, not that way, provoke. I'm talking about they challenge me to do more for God. I love it when people challenge me to do more for God because they're showing that it can be done. They're showing I can get answers to prayer. They're showing I can lead people to the Lord. They're showing I can get people baptized. Do you know you can do that to your pastor? Yeah, you can challenge him. to love and good works. If you'll sow, and you'll go, and you'll follow up those that you sow to, and yeah, you'll run into disappointments. I went out with Sarge. We led a guy to pray to receive Christ. I followed him up, and he wasn't clear on it, so I gave him the gospel again, and he trusted the Lord. I followed him up, and his roommate said, oh, he's not ready to come out, and Sarge said, that's all right, Pastor. We'll go back next week. We'll keep working with the guy. Thank God for that. Be faithful. And that's what Isaac did. He digged, and the Bible says that he sowed, and he was faithful, and God had blessed him. I talk about the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, Dr. Jack Hiles. That church went to 25,000 people. He started a church with about 40 people, or didn't start the church. He took over a church in Texas, Garland, Texas, well, 40 people. And in just a few years, it went to 4,000 people. I don't know about you, but I like what it says here when it says that Isaac, and this is a man that was a quiet man. It said he waxed great. And he could have said, well, I paid my price. I've grown. We've reached a lot here. We've done a lot here. But it says after he waxed great, he what? Went forward. That means he kept going and grew until he became very great. And you know, I found out with Brother Jack Hiles, he became great, but he kept going forward. Every year he kept going forward. And he grew until he became very great. And when he was an older man, I remember him saying, I want to baptize more this year. I want to give the gospel to more. I want our church to reach more. And he died of a heart attack, and he was still growing and still going. That's the way it should be. I said, that's the way it should be. God wants you to sow, to grow this year, and to go beyond where you went last year. And to go, and we're now in the first month of the year, to go beyond where you went last year. How are we doing? How are we doing with that? I don't like it when the buses can't go out. I'm not happy with that. But I want to make you unhappy. I want to make you to get the burden of the boss and to have the heart of the leader. And you say, what heart is that? The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, other sheep have I who are not of this fold. I want you to go and to grow. And if you've grown, I want you to go forward from there. And go far. Are you ready to go forward this year and witness to more than you did last year? Baptize more of your own this year than last year? Are you ready to see us start more Sunday school classes this year than we had last year? And to have more people come out this year than last year? You say, oh man, that could make me uncomfortable. That's not what you're supposed to be seeking. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll stem the tide, endure the pain, supported by thy word. I want to challenge you this morning to sow more, to grow more. Sow more, to grow more. Isaac did it, and he was a very quiet man, a very rural man, but he became great. God didn't save you to be just comme ci, comme ça. You know, somebody says, oh, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He won more than he lost. I don't care. That'll make you a Hall of Fame coach. Well, he got in the playoffs every year and lost the first, took the record for losing the first game. I don't want that. I don't believe God wants that. He wants you to sow to grow this year, sow more to grow more this year. Number two, not only sow to gospel giving this year and sow to go forward this year, not only that, but lastly, so did God's Spirit this year. Here's what it says in Genesis 26:18. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which Abraham, their father, called them. You know, when Isaac began to grow and then he grew great, he was living in desert regions. And what do you need when you have a lot of people in the desert region? What do you need when you have a lot of flocks in the desert region? What do you need when you have a lot of crops in the desert region growing? You need irrigation, not irritation. Irrigation. Water. Right. And so, what did he do? He digged wells and he redug the wells of his father Abraham so he could take care of all those blessings that God had given him. Now, when God blesses the church, what do we need? We need more of the water of life. We need the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes I'll preach and sometimes I'll preach and Matthew will say, Pastor, he says, you're just pouring out on us water. You're raining on us. Well, that's what I want to do. Brother Heil said, you know, when you're pastoring and you're preaching, you receive from people in vapors and then you pour out upon them with floods. You receive from your people individually in vapors, but you pour out when you're preaching in floods. And that's what is needed if you're going to sow to grow, not only sow to gospel giving this year, not only sow to keep going forward this year, but sow to God's Spirit. God's Spirit answers to water, irrigation, something that will give refreshment, something that will give life and sustain life, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you, there are a lot of churches today, they are mega churches, mega means great. They grow and they great. They're really growing. But have you ever seen a dead raccoon in the road? It grows and grows. But it's not the kind of growth you want. It's corruption. That's what's growing. It's not healthy growth. It takes the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ to have healthy growth. Who's that lady preacher? What's her name? Her husband sits with his legs crossed on the front row. What's her name? Huh? What is it? Joyce Myers. Oh, I can't stand to hear her preach. She's a sorry excuse for a man. She's a man like that. That reminds me of, I'm sorry if you get offended. We got a small crowd, but that reminds me of a man in ladies' sports. Women don't like it when men, Leah Thomas, you know, got into women's sports, right? 6'3", playing, breaking the record, and the weightlifters, Donald Trump, jogging. I don't like it when Joyce Myers gets in that pulpit and starts shouting. God says, I will not suffer a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over a man. Did you hear me? I'm just saying that is not going to, oh, but she can preach. I don't care if she can preach. I don't care. There's some butch women that look like men and they can pass off, but oh, you know. Spare me. Let your hair grow out, ma'am. Mister, you cut your hair. Look like a man. And a woman look like a woman. I'm just saying, there are a lot of these Laodicean churches. They are mega churches. Oh, they got people coming in, but they're not growing God's way. They're not great with God. They're not irrigating with the Holy Spirit. They're stinking liberal, compromising, worldly churches. And they can't take a man preaching the Word of God like I'm doing today. And you say, Pastor, you want to keep preaching like that? Yes, I do. Because, see, I don't want people to grow because I am wearing lace on my underwear and trying to placate them. No, I want to grow God's way. And God said to Isaac, he said, go ahead. And Isaac dig down. And what did he want to get? He wanted to get, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me the old wells of the old King James Bible. I'm not talking about the new King James Bible. I'm talking about the old King James Bible. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion where women are trad wives, where they want the men to earn more than they were earned. I said, well, they want the man to earn more than they earn. Give me that old-time religion where women submit to men and reverence men and men love women and care for them. Give me that old-time home and family. America has not been made great by Laodicean licking the world, churches. Kissing up to the world, churches. Kissing up to the world, preachers. No, we need to get back to the old ways. And I like it that Abraham, he had good wells, and Isaac said, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. We don't need to reinvent marriage. We don't need to reinvent the family. We don't need to have something modern and new. We need to get back to the old and redig the old. And it's not by compromise. God said in Zechariah, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Some say, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, I don't like that kind of living. And the right kind of preaching brings about the right kind of living. And God told Isaac to not go down into Egypt, but to stay in the promised land and to sow and grow. And if you're going to sow and grow, you're going to need the old water from the old wells. So he went and he needed that water right away. And so he redug those old wells that the Philistines had stopped up. By the way, do you know the devil wants to keep people from the old-time gospel, the old-time power of God? He does not want people to get that. And the Bible says in verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. They went there and they said, we need water. And they dug in the valley. By the way, do you know this is a valley we're living in? It's called the Lackawanna Valley. Wilkes-Barre and Scranton and Carbondale, do you know that they're called valley cities, Brother Joe? I know you know that. And we're digging in a valley right here. We're mining for gold in the valley right here. And I believe God's got some gold in this valley. I believe God's got some silver in these here hills. By the way, do you know silver is almost $100 an ounce right now? I remember telling Brother Joe, get silver when it was $15 an ounce or something. And I said, go after it. That's when we were doing Primerica, Bobby. I said, go into that now. It's amazing. But Isaac, he dug in the valley there, and it said he hit a well of springing water. Now, you know what that reminds me of? Jesus in John 7, 38 and 39 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, by which they believe on him should receive. Do you know that when a person really gets saved, in his belly the Holy Spirit lives? You say, what is his belly? It's the innermost part of his being. It's the hollow place in his spirit. It's his spirit that it's made for fellowship with God. And when you give somebody the gospel, they have in their belly the Holy Spirit if they get saved. And that just flows out of their life. And you get what I call a high output, low maintenance belief. You know, there's some high-output, low-maintenance believers. I remember when Joe Slobodnik was a Catholic and he came to this church and he got saved. Joe Slobodnik became a high-output, low-maintenance believer. Joe Slobodnik, out of his belly, they're flowing. You went to that well. You didn't even have to put the bucket down to the well, Bobby. The well shot up to you like a gusher, like an oil well, shooting it up. When Brother Joe got saved, he just started shooting up. And he just started coming to church and getting in the Word of God. And then it wasn't long. And then he was giving tithes and offerings to the Lord's work. And then he was eventually he taught Sunday school. And then he went out soul winning with me. Then he became a soul winning trainer of others. And now he's a teacher trainer. He's teaching our soul winning. And we're having about 25 people a week going out soul winning. It's awesome. He's springing up. And I'm just saying, you keep digging for God's power and praying for God's power and going and sowing the gospel, and you'll hit some gushers, amen? You'll hit some high output, low maintenance saints. It'll be a blessing to you. I know brother Eric Zukowski, he's been blessed by this guy. Because he's a high output, low maintenance disciple. And that's a blessing. That is a blessing. And when you hit somebody like that, it encourages you and it helps you and it causes you to want to go forward and it causes you to want to grow greater yet. And that's what God wants. I believe it, that He wants us. And notice they kept digging more wells. Why did they have to keep digging more wells? Because every time they got a well, the Philistines argued over it. And their answer was, just get another one, and just get another one, and just get another one, because the devil doesn't like it. And he will try to argue over it. He'll try to take that person away. I've had some good people, the devil has taken them away. A lot of times God will bring them back, amen? But the devil tried to get them away. Don't let the devil take you away. And God blessed in that person's life. And then the Philistines, what they did was they threw garbage in the well so that we want to stop the well up. We want to put something between that water and the people that want to draw it out. And so they're going to put their garbage in there. And you know what Satan does? He tries to put false doctrine in the way of our soul winning and say it's Jesus plus repenting of all your sins. No, it's repenting of your self-righteousness so that you can believe on Christ and be saved. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus confession to a priest or the sacraments of any kind. No, it's simply faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There's nothing more. Nothing more that needs to be done. Jesus said it's finished. And we preach salvation full and free. If you know you're a sinner on your way to hell, the Bible said, whosoever will, let him take freely of the water of life. I do not like those preachers who try to add garbage to my salvation, who try to add their own works and their own touches to the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to just tell you that is a blessing. And the Bible puts it this way when the Philistine garbage gets in there. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. I remember going up to Oliphant years ago, knocking on some doors, calling our bus captain over, saying, get up there in Oliphant. And I remember there was a lady up there, and she had gone to a Pentecostal church. They taught her modest dress standards. She dressed modestly. She learned not to kiss a guy before she's married. And she did everything that she was supposed to do. But guess what? She She wasn't saved. She was trying to work her way to heaven. We even gave her the gospel. Somebody gave her the gospel and she understood, she said, but she really didn't see it. You say, what kept her from seeing it? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes so they can't see Jesus. And the garbage was there of works. And Pentecostal, and the even in a Pentecostal Spanish church, you could get your salvation and lose it, and get it and lose it. Let me tell you, the gift that Jesus gives is not you get it and lose it, get it and lose it. He says he's loved you with an everlasting love. And when he saves you, it's forever. He said that you're married to him until death do you part, and you're never going to die. You have eternal life. That's the true gospel. She didn't have that. And she didn't see it. And I called her up on the phone and was talking to her on the phone, and I just started giving her the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like I'm talking to you about Jesus. And she said, Pastor, it was like a big veil that was between me and Jesus. And when you were talking, it was like the Holy Spirit ripped that veil right down. And I saw Jesus, that he did it all. And I look to Jesus. By the way, that's what faith is. It's looking outside of yourself to Jesus Christ, who provides you a free gift. And that's what she did. And she got saved. Her name is Awilda Rodriguez. Thank God her husband got saved, and she had the assurance before he passed. Thank God that her son, Christian, has been serving the Lord and coming. I talked to Jordan just the other day about getting married, and talked to him about the Lord and pray for Jordan. And Jai has been coming. Pray for God blessed Awilda because the garbage that was standing between her and Jesus got ripped out by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Have you believed on Christ with all your heart to save you? If not, would you do it today? If not, would you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. And I can't save myself, but I believe you paid it all. And I believe your promise that if I come to you, you won't cast me out. If you tell Jesus that and you believe, you're saved right then and there. You say that, that's too simple. Yeah, it's God's simple plan of salvation. You say, well, that's easy believism. No, that's believism. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Now, I'm just saying, if you want to sow to grow, sow to more gospel giving this year, sow to go forward farther than ever in your life this year, and sow to God's Spirit this year by praying for the Holy Spirit's power, and by not spending time sowing to your flesh. Get out of there. Get out of there and get back to sowing to God. You can't afford to waste the time. Sow your time to God. Sow your talents to God. And sow your treasures. Make sure you give your tithes and offerings first to God. Just keep doing what God wants this year and you will grow. I'm saying sow to grow this year by sowing to more gospel giving this year. Number two, by sowing to go forward to greater heights this year, and then sowing to God's Spirit this year so we can grow. And you say, well, what happens, Pastor, if we fill this building? Then we fill it a second time on a Sunday morning. What happens? Then we get another building. And what happens? We plant other churches. And let's go forward. Expect great things from God. And God will do great things through your life. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about sowing to grow this year, and I wonder if in your life,